Parker. It's the last Friday before Christmas here on the Green Zone. And you know what that means. All Request Friday. What are your favorite Christmas songs? Probably not a lot of Mariah Carey choices out there.
That's a massive song. That might be one of the biggest.
Well, she goes to number one every year. Like every year, yeah. It's like Taylor Swift number one until like December, and then it's Mariah Carey.
Yeah,
All I Want for Christmas.
Yeah,
boom, like, number one song.
I don't want to take anything away from Bing's work.
That's the best.
Those are the best. But
White Christmas, Bing Crosby, that's number one.
Yeah, but that song, I think, is one of the highest selling Christmas albums of all time. That song, that album's off of. It's massive.
1-877-332-8255. Merry Christmas, Saskatchewan. Your favorite Christmas songs, holiday songs, what do you got? 1-877-332-8255. That's the text line for All Request Friday. That is also the text line for you to keep us up to date. And thanks, we're getting a lot of texts about the highways, especially in and around Regina.
Is it worse today than it was at the beginning of the week with the storm?
In the Regina area, yes. Not in Saskatoon. Saskatoon earlier in the week was way worse than what they're experiencing right now. Regina, not so much.
Oh, there's a yellow warning. Jamie, yellow.
Don't get me started. Highway hotline. Highway 11 closed from Aylesbury to Davidson right now between Regina and Saskatoon. All area highways in and around Regina, travel not recommended. And there's a portion of Highway 1 west of Swift Current that is closed all the way till about Carmichael. So 1-877-332-8255, your holiday and Christmas song requests, and you can keep us up to date on the highways as well on what you're seeing on this Friday afternoon. We begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines. And let's begin with last night's Thursday nighter. Was that the best Thursday night football game of all time?
Motion back inside is Barner. Darnold has time. Looks inside. It's caught. Touchdown. Make an extra point. Make a conversion. I don't care what it is. The Seahawks win the game again on the last play of the game. The Seahawks win 38-37. It's Sauber with a two-point conversion catch. Holy cow.
Holy cow, indeed. That's the Seattle radio call last night as the Seahawks take over top spot in the NFC with a 38-37 win in overtime. There were 16 points down, came back. Rashid Shaheed started with a punt return, a touchdown. They got a weird two-point conversion that was an
live
incomplete
ball.
Pass, and then they ruled the pass was behind the line of scrimmage, went off a helmet, so live ball. Zach Charbonnet just picks it up in the end zone like, hey, does anybody need a football? Here you go, ref. And then they're like, oh, that's two-point convert.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they went.
Rams fans must have been losing their minds.
It was the right call. But when it comes to immediate recovery, though, like, really? I'm not so sure. But the Seahawks went for two rather than kicking the PAT to tie, which would have given the ball
in
back
overtime.
To the Rams in overtime.
Yeah. Okay.
They went for two because a tie would have done them no good. They still would have been trailing the Rams in the standings. Went for two, got the two. They now lead the way. What a night. Stafford, 457 yards, three touchdowns.
He had a crazy night. He must be losing his mind today to lose that game.
Darnold was meh for two touchdowns, two interceptions, but was really solid in overtime late in the game. Puka Nacua, after his apology for the anti-Semitic gesture he made on a podcast,
that was
had
weird.
12 catches, 225 yards, and two touchdowns. What a game last night. More great games ahead this week in the National Football League.
We did listen to Al Michaels' call.
What a lame call. He didn't even say they won. And it's Sauber.
hadn't thrown to him all game.
Al's a legend.
I was like, come on, Al. You didn't even say Seahawks win or anything. It was just like, ha, look at that guy. He hasn't caught a pass all night. Anyway, what's go? Where are? Oh, the game's over. I guess I probably should have mentioned that on the call.
Yeah, he's 81. He's got to pack it in, I think.
He's blowing major moments in sports.
Yeah.
Like, he's blowing it when it comes to calling games. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
He is 100% a legend. But at some point,
it's time.
The bosses need to go, is he really the right guy for the job right now?
Yeah.
When there's Kevin Harlan and so many other guys.
Yeah. But just standing, waiting in the wings. We'll move over to the NHL. Oilers with a solid team win.
Jones freed up, shoots to the save, big rebound, score! Quinn Hudson, his first of the National Hockey League, and Edmonton takes a 2-1 lead.
I need to meet Mama Hudson. They're going to have four kids, potentially, in the NHL.
Well, they have two in the NHL, one drafted. Cole's going to be on the U.S., and I don't know how good Lars is. But.
Okay, maybe three out of four. Anyway, so Quinn is Lane's brother. Lane plays, obviously, in Montreal with the Habs, and that was his first goal last night, and that was a nice-looking goal. Tristan Jarry hurt during the game. Pickard finished. Oilers got a power play goal, they got an even strength goal, and they got a shorthanded goal. They beat the Bruins 3-2-1. McDavid got his 382nd goal. Up next, I looked to see just before we jumped on the air if there was any updates on Tristan Jarry.
He's on the IR.
But I no indication as to what it was. I think it's a groin or a knee or something because it was on a slide. But he has been a bit of a Band-Aid in his career. He's had some health issues. They are bringing up Connor Ingram. We did look into that.
The Imperial Saskatchewan product joins the head coach, who's also from Imperial Saskatchewan.
I don't hate that. I'd like to get a look at him. His numbers haven't been great in the AHL, but apparently from everybody, from all accounts, that team that he's in Bakersfield there is not good. Like, it is not a good team. The Oilers wrap up a five-game road trip. Last night was a test, and I was impressed with the win last night, but I'm not going to get too excited until I see them against the Wild, one of the best teams in the NHL. Not that the Boston Bruins are any slouch, but I can't wait for that 2 o'clock start tomorrow. Oilers have, like I said, recalled Connor Ingram. No word on whether or not he'll start on Saturday. It'll probably be Pickard.
As we continue in the NHL, I think Craig Berube's not too impressed with the Toronto Maple Leafs after a 4-0 loss to Washington last night.
Way more urgency in their game, more passion in their game. That's the difference.
How do you explain that considering where you are at the standings?
Ask those guys, not me.
We got Drew on. I wonder what Drew thinks about this. That sounds like a coach that's had it, like he's done.
He hasn't been there for very long already.
No, but it sounds like he's ready to pack it in. There's something really, really wrong with that group. And
is it the guy wearing the C?
I thought I was way off when I thought that Marner might have, like, with getting him out of there, I thought they might go, all right, guys, we got to get our whatchamacallit together, and that has not happened this year at all. There's bigger issues culturally on that team, and I think it is. I think a lot of fingers are going
to
get pointed at Matthews.
And
what do you do? Like, what do you?
Well,
do you
he's get done rid of in the... 2 years, so trade him, just like you did with Quinn Hughes for the Vancouver Canucks. If he doesn't want to be there, and he's going to be sad puppy, bye. See you later. Look at the haul that Quinn Hughes just got. Yeah. For the Vancouver Canucks. If you don't want to be here and you're not going to sign an extension, later, as much as you don't want to lose a 50 goal scorer, if he's dragging everybody down,
he's not getting 50 this year.
If he, what do you call him? Energy?
I'm gapping. Yes.
People who just suck the energy out of you. If that's Austin Matthews in that room and everybody's like, oh,
yeah, vampires.
Lead. Bye. Yeah. See you later.
All right. CFL, the BC Lions land all-star linebacker Darnell Sankey.
Corso the run down the field. That'll do it. The final dagger into the
The Alouettes and Sankey parted ways last week. He was going to be a free agent at the end of February anyway. Sankey moves to the West after being in Montreal for the last three seasons. He won a Grey Cup in his first season with the Owls and was the East Division All-CFL selection in 2024 and 2025. That's a big get for the BC Lions.
That is a major get for defense.
That's
in
a
BC,
nice piece.
Who
nice
struggled piece. For much of the first half of last season. And we wrap it up with the WHL.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Yes, it's the final night of action before the Christmas break in the Western Hockey League. Only one Saskatchewan team playing tonight. It's the Prince Albert Raiders. With a win tonight, the Raiders can take over top spot from Medicine Hat in the Eastern Conference. So at the break, you have the Blades, Warriors, and Pats. They are 6-7-8 in the conference standings. The Swift Current Broncos are at the bottom of the table right now as the Christmas break is after tonight's action in the Dub. Coming up next, how are the roads around Regina? They are bad. You can bring us up to date at 1-877-332-8255. But we do have some news that might brighten one person's day. Yes, the Tic Tac 20 contest. The jackpot's $200. Who's the contestant? We'll tell you next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Out of all the rain, you know you're the mastermind.
Our last All Request Friday before Christmas. What is the Christmas song you want to hear, Saskatchewan? Let us know now.
I'm feeling it, though, this week. Last week, I was a little touch and go on the Christmas tunes. Now I'm starting
The girls are coming in. You're excited.
I'm starting to get ready.
I have family coming in, hopefully, fingers crossed, later tonight. Maybe tomorrow. We'll see. But, yeah.
Here we go.
I
haven't done any of my shopping. I ran out today to grab something quick. I'm so bad.
I have a list of five people to buy four. I got one done today. It was you.
You and I are both the same way on the Christmas stuff on the procrastination front.
I'm surprised because you usually like.
I'm not that guy, but with Christmas and gifts, I.
You put it off because you don't know what to do. That's what it is. What I do. I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Well, you're easy. I got an idea for Scotty. I came up with it last night. Actually, I'm on my drive home because that little bought us gifts.
He got his t-shirts.
They're awesome, too. I love mine.
You got a Slapshot t-shirt?
Slapshot. I got one of the Hanson brothers on my shirt. I'll wear that with pride.
I got a K. Whitmore retro Vancouver Canucks shirt. For a second, I was like, no, that's not Jason Fitzsimmons. Like, oh, Kay Whitmore. I get it. I'm actually surprised Saskatchewan Locker hasn't dipped into his Christmas present from me yet. I'm quite proud of you.
Well, and the other problem with that Christmas gift is when you brought it in out of the truck and it was cold. I'm like, oh, no, it's cold.
All right. Anyways, Damian Locker here on the Green Zone. Your Christmas songs, what do you want to hear on All Request Friday?
Make them good, everybody. Make them good. We'll get Christmas tunes in through the course of the show here.
Meanwhile, the Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest, the jackpot's at $200. Was it three or four jackpots we've already given away this year? So they're going. Will our contestant win this week? Liza Edine. From Saskatoon, $200 up for grabs. 13 games tomorrow in the National Hockey League. Liza, if someone scores in the first 20 seconds tomorrow on Saturday in the National Hockey, any of those 13 start with a goal in the first 20 seconds in the first period, you win $200. If not, the jackpot will grow to $300.
This boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day.
Request Friday, final Friday before Christmas here on the Green Zone, so send in your Christmas tunes. Michael with a special request. This one goes out to Wheels, Mary's Boy Child from Boney M.
Wheels didn't like Boney M.
Wheels tried, he challenged me to a Friday face-off that Boney M was overrated, and he did not even, he might have got one vote and it might have been from his mom. Like it was an embarrassing day for Wheels.
Yeah, he misjudged that one. The Boney M thing, I can't explain it. All I will say is that everybody of a certain vintage had that vinyl.
Absolutely it did.
Everybody.
I can see it now.
100%. I can picture it now.
1-877-332-8255. All request Friday as well. Updating you on the highways this afternoon. Blowing snow in southern Saskatchewan has a portion of Highway 1 west of Swift Current closed. A portion of Highway 11 between Aylesbury and Davidson closed. Travel not recommended all around the city of Regina this afternoon. As we continue with a preview of the World Junior Hockey Championships with the man you'll hear on Boxing Day on these radio stations. Also, the play-by-play voice on the television of the Ottawa Senators is Matt Cullen. Matt, let's just start with this. Are they going to finish better than fifth?
I sure hope so. The last couple of years have been difficult. Obviously, it's a really great tournament. It's pressure-packed, and Canadians love this time of year for the World Juniors. But you know, if there's no clear sign that the rest of the world is catching up to Canada in terms of hockey, it's been there the last 2 years with two straight quarterfinal exits to Czechia. But great team this year. They look good in their first pre-tournament game. Obviously, a couple of more to go as well. But I think that they're primed up and ready for a deep run again.
So with the lack of success at this tournament over the last couple of years, Matt, it looks like Hockey Canada has made some adjustments. And one of those changes was that the team has gone from a more of a camp as opposed to tryouts. Do you think that'll help solidify this group quicker?
Yeah, I was looking into that a little bit over the last couple of days, and from what I gather, they wanted to feel less like a tryout and to value more preparation time, just to get to know each other a little bit better, rather than have like a bigger group come in, have some sort of that uncertainty about who's going to make it, who's not going to make it. Obviously, less ice time available for those players when you have those key practices and pre-tournament games leading up. So, yeah, different approach, and I think that you know, it's needed because you know, the last couple of years have obviously, there's been some good moments in the round robin, and you know, the teams have played well, but it's been razor sharp in terms of how the games have been decided. Bad bounce here, you know, tough penalty kill here, shootout loss there. So I think that I think a new approach is welcome this year.
How big will it be for this team? Like Michael Misa and Harrison Brunica, like, do you have NHLers a lot more than usual getting loaned to this team? They have returnees, you know, Martone, Cole Reshny is going to be a heck of a player. Gavin McKenna will be the superstar of this team. Overall, where do you look at this talent level for Canada heading into Boxing Day and the World Juniors?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the best Team Canadas that we've seen in a long time. And if you look down the list, like almost everybody is a first round pick. There's a couple of exceptions in there with some undrafted players and things like that, and some youngsters as well. Some players that are coming up. You mentioned Gavin McKenna. I mean, he's not underrated by any means. But it's a really good mix of really high end talented players. But of course, the question is, you know, how does this group fit together and how can they play well together at the World Juniors against some other really good teams? Like the Americans have won back-to-back gold medals. Obviously, the Czechs have done well. The Swedes are always perennial favorites. And there was a time when Finland was going to gold medal games as well. So the question is definitely going to be, how does this team all fit together? But it never hurts having some of those top-end guys you mentioned. Michael Misa, who was an OHL MVP, and before his injury with San Jose, was getting minutes. Yeah, and there's a few others that have obviously played really well. Brunick scored a goal already in the NHL with Pittsburgh. So I think that when you need a goal and you need a key moment, maybe it's a big save. You've got some returning guys in net as well with Carter George and Jack Ivankovic. You can go down the list. I think they're really primed up for another great run.
What's interesting about this tournament, Matt, is that it's not all about Canada anymore. It is, I mean, you talked about how close these countries are getting now. They've been nipping at the heels of the Canadian squads for some time. Would you put Canada as a favorite this year? I know the Swedes look good. It's in the States. U.S. always put together a good team.
Great question. Yeah, I think that Canada is still the favorite. I mean, okay. If you probably look at the betting lines, which I haven't checked today, but from what I understand, I think Canada still is the favorite, just because of the history. I mean, they've won 20 gold medals at this tournament, and no other country's come close to doing that. But yeah, things have run dry a little bit over the last couple of years. We've talked about that, but I think that playing in the U.S. is really going to motivate the Canadians. Obviously, the U.S. came into Ottawa last year and won gold right under the Canadians' nose there on home ice. Obviously, Sweden's a great team as well, great round robin team. But they haven't won a gold medal since 2012, which is pretty crazy to think about considering the talent that that country produces. And then within Canada's group, Finland, Czechia, Latvia, and Denmark. And, don't sleep on the Latvians. They beat Canada in a shootout last time, if you go back to around this time. So there's a lot of countries that are producing some really good hockey players. But I think roster for roster, this is one of Canada's better teams in a couple of years. And I worked quite a bit with Frankie Corrado doing some Senators games and some other hockey. And he's like, well, maybe the Americans aren't quite as good this year. I hope we're not jinxing ourselves here, but I think that there's a good chance for Canada to stake its claim. And I think they'll come in as the opening day favorite to win it all.
Matt Cullen joining us, voice of the Ottawa Senators, as well as the voice you'll hear on Boxing Day for the World Junior Hockey Championships on these radio stations as that tournament gets started for Canada. Out here in the West, we've been talking about Gavin McKenna, it feels like, for 5 years already, since he was like 12. He will be the star of the World Junior team for Canada. But there's a Fort Saskatchewan kid out of Alberta. Kid, he's 6'4". Keaton Verhoff, the defenseman, who some people have pushing for the number one spot for the NHL draft coming up. What should Canadian hockey fans get ready for if they haven't seen the 6'4" Keaton Verhoff play on the blue line yet?
Yeah, he was really impressive in that opening pre-tournament game. There was I think two Canadians that were wearing the full face mask, and it was him and Carson Carles, who plays for Prince George, also in the Western Hockey League. And yeah, 17 years old, but not a 17-year-old body. 6'4", 212. He's already had a couple of years in the WHL, now playing at the University of North Dakota in the NCAA. Really impressed with his puck movements. His smarts, penalty killing as well, was able to get his stick into a couple of key lanes, block some shots. It's going to be obviously very difficult to take out Gavin McKenna from that top spot in the upcoming draft. But I think that whoever's able to get their hands on Keaton Verhoff is going to be a really really happy team.
I was watching the preseason matchup, the pre-tournament matchup the other night against the Swedes. They play them again in London on Saturday night, and I got the sense that it already felt like a Hunter squad. Matt, are you seeing the same thing?
Yeah, that's a coach right there that's done a whole lot of winning with the London Knights, and had a brief stint with the Washington Capitals as a coach as well, and a longtime great NHL player as well. There's really not too much that the Hunters, Dale and Mark, part of the brain trust and the management group of Hockey Canada. There's not a whole lot that they haven't seen as well. And of course, the Knights coming off a Memorial Cup championship last year, and bringing in Gardner McDougall, who's a coach out in Moncton, and they were in the Memorial Cup final as well. So it's kind of a meeting of two minds there in terms of assistant coaches and coach. And yeah, just the way they play, they just breed a lot of success. If you look at the junior hockey ranks, like who are always the best teams? Most of the times you can look around and say, well, it's going to be a 3 to 4 year cycle. You load up, you go for a deep run, and then you have to reset. But not the London Knights, and that's because they have a great they have a great system, they have a great culture, they attract high level players. And if you look at the NHLers that have gone through London, and in terms of what they're dealing with the Hunters, it's a pretty long list, a lot of great players. So not a surprise that he's back for another year, and hoping to repeat after the Canadians won in Czechia, I think back in 2020. So he's been to the top already, and we'll now have to try and climb that mountain again.
Matt Cullen, play-by-play voice, World Junior Hockey Championships. You'll hear him Boxing Day on these radio stations. Has goaltending become less of an issue for Canada? Like, they got three pretty good netminders battling for that one job eventually when it gets to the medal rounds.
Really good. Really good goaltending. And yeah, goaltending has been an issue over the years. But I think that goaltending is so unpredictable now that it's really difficult to say. I mean, if you look at the top goalies right now in the NHL, it's guys like Jesper Wallstedt, who's, you know, barely 23 years old in Minnesota, rookie goaltender. Brandon Bussey, again, late developer in his late 20s, finally got called up, and he's having a great year in Carolina. There's a couple others as well. Logan Thompson is going to be part of the Canadian Olympic team without any doubt there. Again, another late bloomer and playing really well with Washington. So if you take it back to the junior level, it is really difficult, I think, to determine goaltending and where their strengths are and how they're going to develop. But I think they've done the best they can because Carter George has been a rock for Owen Sound for the last couple of years as a second-round pick of the L.A. Kings. And goaltending was not the problem last year. I mean, George had the best goals against. He had the best save percentage. He was the top player, top three player on Team Canada. So really, he did everything that he could.
They couldn't score.
Kovac.
They couldn't put the puck in it.
I mean, you got to... If it wasn't, the last years, it's been goaltending that's really plagued them. And then last year, it's just not putting the puck in the back of the net. And so I think that between Carter George and if there's any issues there, I think Jack Ivankovic, who still has another year of eligibility after this year, he's now playing in the NCAA, but was with Mississauga and Brampton. I think that they're going to be all set. And I think the plan is to release a goaltender so they have two, being it a North American-based tournament that they will have. If they need a third goaltender, then they will have one at the ready. And not having someone come in cold, I think, is also part of the decision-making as well. So I expect it'll be George and Ivankovic to take the net for Canada, and probably George will get the first crack at the net.
Doesn't look like they're going to have trouble scoring this year, Matt, with Brady Martin and Gavin MacKinnon already sort of looking like they're getting some chemistry going. So we're going to hear the hip, Courage, quite a bit. Thoughts on the goal song? Because it was a very, very controversial conversation on the Green Zone yesterday.
Yeah. That's okay. Interesting. You know, it's not a typical goal song, but I think you can't really go wrong with the hip. And I think that just from what I've heard about it, there's, you know, they need some courage this year. They're coming off two tournaments where the standards were set much, much higher. So they need some courage this year. But, you know, as a play-by-play guy, I love a good goal horn, a good goal song right there, something that's going to get you right back in it. And, you know, motivate the fans and things like that. So I think that, you know, it's a different approach this year, which, you know, hey, why not after the last 2 years? But I think that all things considered, given the context, given the song, given the group, great Canadian group out of Kingston, Ontario, why not? I think it's a good choice.
Nice.
And Matt, real quick, because you are the voice of the Sens too, what's it like waking up every day to check the standings in the Eastern Conference? Because it's wild.
I mean, I think in the Atlantic Division, it's within single digits now, top to bottom. And that's, Toronto, Ottawa, Buffalo, Detroit, everyone's all packed in there. And I think with the Sens winning last night over Pittsburgh and Toronto losing, I think Ottawa's jumped over Toronto now in the standings. So that's gonna hurt for some Maple Leafs fans because the struggle there is really, really on. And I think Ottawa is starting to find its game again after a pretty slow start as well. But a busy time of year, a great time of year for hockey fans as the NHL marches on, plus the World Juniors in a great time zone this year as well. So we're going to have our hands full, and I'm looking forward to it.
That is Matt Cullen. You'll hear his call on these radio stations for the World Juniors starting on Boxing Day. He's got a crazy schedule because he's going between Minnesota and the Ottawa Senators games. So you will hear David Bowen for two games. He did the call for the Leafs the other night when they honored
Joe's
his dad,
boy.
Joe.
Yeah.
So he will make some calls, and then Matt will be back for New Year's Eve and the medal games right here for the World Juniors. Meanwhile, just checked YQR. A couple of flights have just been canceled landing at YQR this evening. A flight from Calgary, a flight from Cancun. Oh, shucks. They have to stay in Mexico an extra night.
Is that Britain's flight?
He got a day delay going there. Maybe it's a day delay coming back for old Britain as well.
We're never going to see him again. He's getting a job on a fishing boat down there.
Yeah, I don't think he's a bartender. I'm telling you, that's what it's going to be. You can bring us up to date on the roads. Travel not recommended all around Regina. Highway 11 closed between Davidson and Aylesbury in a section of Highway 1. Starting to reopen, actually, west of Swift Current near Gull Lake. Just one tiny portion closed there. This Day in Sports coming up next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This day in sports history, December the 19th. You thought last night's football game was crazy in a comeback. It was 15 years ago? Miracle at Meadowlands 2.0. Eagles, Giants. Eagles get the ball with just over 8 minutes left, down by 21 points. They would go on to score four unanswered touchdowns, including the first ever walk-off punt return TD.
It's a line drive kick. Jackson bobbles it and now has to try and recover. DeSean Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding? DeSean Jackson still not in and now in for the touchdown. No flags. Unbelievable. No time left. Eagles win.
What a call by Joe Buck. Eagles come back to DeSean Jackson. Takes up, I couldn't believe they punted right down the middle of the field. The Giant, oh my goodness. Miracle at Meadowlands 2.0, 15 years ago today.